From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Sunnyvale, down by Great America.
Sunset District.
In between Cupertino and Saratoga.
San Jose.
Oakland.
Antioch.
Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, same here, Half Moon Bay.
Coming up, we'll visit an Oakland library where kids practice reading to a very attentive audience.
Do you have a favorite dog?
Griffin.
And why is he your favorite?
Because he listens very well.
Then a small but mighty library branch goes looking for readers.
System-wide, we have a value that if people are not coming to us, we want to go to them.
And we'll take a ride with a mobile bike library.
It's been great to see kids' faces light up when they see, like, Captain Underpants or Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
We're going beyond the stacks today on Cross Currents. Oakland is a library town. The city's got nearly two dozen, including a Toole Lending Library in the basement of the Temescal branch. So when the city council considered closing some branches to fill a budget gap back in 2011, people were not happy. They got organized. You can hear them chanting in this recording from a protest that year in downtown Oakland. 16 people were arrested that day, sending a message that people love their public libraries. The city council heard that message and kept the libraries open. This week, we're taking a look at what makes libraries so valuable. Today, we're going to focus on what they offer kids. We'll start at Oakland's Lakeview branch, where children aren't being read aloud to, they're doing the reading, to an audience you might not expect. From Mills College in Oakland, reporter Violet Angel has more.
Three kids are sitting on the ground with brightly colored books in their hands. It might be hard to hear, but they're each reading out loud. To a dog. 10-year-old Margarita came to the program today for the first time. She just finished reading to an Australian Shepherd.
Well, I read to Griffin. I read Fly Guy, Bad Dog, Johnny Boo, and Dogs ABC to him, and he really liked it.
Is it more fun reading out loud to dogs than to grown-ups?
Yeah.
I feel like you're pretty good at reading.
Yeah, I think I'm really good, but when it comes to, like, reading out loud, like, I could read to a dog, but, like, in public, no. Like, I could, but I just stutter a lot. So.
Which is precisely the point of this program called Pause to Read. Leal Charnot's the director of the program, and he says the dogs can have a calming effect on children.
The concept behind the Pause to Read program in general is that some children may have a hard time reading when they're in the presence of teachers or parents. And with the Pause to Read program, dogs are fairly neutral. Children don't feel apprehensive when they read to a dog.
He kept putting his paw up to, like, the book, and, like, he was laying on me, like, he was looking at the book, like, seemed like he was actually, like, he could understand, like, exactly what I was saying.
Are you going to come back?
Yes.
6-year-old Kira read to Griffin, too. That's the same dog Margarita did. Kira's a shy little girl who was hiding behind her mother when I first approached her. But after reading with the dogs for a while, she announced to her mother that she was ready to talk to me.
What kind of book did you read today?
I read Elephant and Peggy, and one where she blows a trumpet. Then I read a comic. Then I read one where the two girls go to a fair, and that's all.
Do you have a favorite dog?
Griffin.
And why is he your favorite?
Because he listens very well, and he's really nice to me.
It sounds so simple, but isn't that what we all look for in a companion? Someone nice who knows how to listen.
And Griffin has lots of fans.
That's volunteer Ben Westheimer.
He's an exceedingly friendly dog to everything but squirrels.
Westheimer and Griffin have been helping kids become better readers for the last 5 years.
The Dr. Seuss books are very popular, and he's heard the same ones dozens of times. Doesn't seem to get tired of it.
Westheimer first got Griffin at an animal shelter. He's brought him up as the family pet and then certified the dog through Therapy Pets of California. All of the Pause to Read dogs have been trained to be around children. Not only do the dogs help the kids overcome shyness, the children begin to associate reading and the library with the positive feelings a dog provides. Miriam Meadows, the children's librarian, oversees the program at the Lakeview branch and has seen its effects firsthand.
I've also seen certain kids, as they engage with the program, their relationship to reading has shifted. There's one kiddo who's in the room right now, so I'll keep my back to him. When he first started coming to pause, he was really distracted and would take forever to choose his book, and he would really drag his feet getting to the reading part. And now he comes bursting into the room with books in hand, trying to show me what books he has. He's so excited.
And it's not just the children who discover something new. Gail's a retired English teacher and now a volunteer at Pause to Read. She says that after 30 years of correcting students, she's realized there are different ways of learning.
When I first started, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to help unless they ask. So I've learned that you really just kind of disappear and wherever the child is at, you know, it's there's something about the non-judgmental quality of a dog that seems to be somewhat magical.
And she says that magic is really about connecting.
That's pretty amazing, I think, in this day and age, for that bond to take place. Like he knows now that she's his person for a while.
This opportunity for connection instead of correction is not always found in schools, but clearly many children benefit from this style of learning. Pause to Read only operates 4 months a year for now. Advocates are hoping for more funding to continue and expand the program. For Mills College, I'm Violet Angel.
Violet Angel is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where this series was produced. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. If you head southeast from the Lakeview Library way down to the 80s blocks of International Boulevard, be sure to take a turn at 88th to visit Elmhurst Library. You'll have to look closely. This library is in a small converted house, and it looks like one. Elmhurst operates like any other public library, books to check out, computers to use, and a children's program. But it's got a problem. Most kids can't get to it very easily. Mills College student reporter Aaliyah Yates has the story of what Elmhurst is doing to fix that.
Okay, everyone's got their puppets on their hands.
If you want one, get it.
On a recent afternoon, toddlers from the neighborhood are gathered in the children's room of Elmhurst Library for a special story time with shadow puppets and musical instruments.
It's a frown.
Well, let's see what's in here. You ready to see it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You know what? There's a really scary sound.
A puppeteer is showing this small group his instruments. Children's librarian Ted McCoy, who has been working here since February, coordinates programs like this for the library a few times every week.
We're a little flexible because we're a smaller branch, so we have to be a little bit more utilitarian sometimes in what we do. We're not necessarily as specialized as maybe some of the bigger branches.
Mary, whose grandson is here for story time, makes it a point to bring him as often as she can.
Well, I used to bring him every Thursday for the toddler time. Probably when he was about a year old.
Librarian McCoy calls people like Mary Elmhurst hardcores because they are here for almost every event. But hardcores like Mary are few. There are only 3 kids here today.
Toddler story time is not necessarily what we want it to be or what we'd, you know, we'd hoped it would be, but we don't have the level of participation that other branches have there for a variety of reasons.
The biggest is something McCoy can't control, location.
We're, you know, situated directly adjacent to International Boulevard, you know, East 14th, which is hard for classes to cross together.
So he came up with a plan.
One of the things that I spoke to my bosses about was doing outreach and finding different ways to engage with the community and the neighborhood right around the branch.
International is a busy road. It runs through East Oakland, and Elmhurst is just a few feet away from it. Ted McCoy shows me what toddlers and their guardians go through to get to Elmhurst.
As you get close to International, just get wrappers here. This is a, we're coming up to, I guess, like a box for electrical fuses that I often see people either urinating behind or smoking crack behind, which can be a little bit off-putting. You might not want to step there.
I stepped on a crack pipe. And Ted says drugs aren't the only problem. Theft is really common in this neighborhood.
We leave the library. Obviously, the library has a metal bar, you know, a metal gate in front of it, which we lock up. We have a big padlock we lock up every night, which is not the way you really want a library to be, but it's the way that it has to be.
And if they don't keep the gates locked, McCoy says it's open season.
Someone tried to steal our cactus. Yeah, it was a guy who came up with, he had gloves on. I mean, he really thought it out. And our security guard was like, hey, you can't steal the cactus. And he got in his car and he ran off. But he came back and got it. Eventually, he got the cactus. And, you know, he's going to find out that cactuses are not, or cacti, they're not worth that much money. So he did put that effort into it. And God bless him, but they're not, he's not going to get much out of that.
That crime didn't hurt anyone, except maybe the cactus. But the problems here are serious, including pedestrian safety.
Traffic on International Boulevard is it's crazy. It can be very dangerous. Even to someone who's driving a car, I don't feel particularly safe at times on International.
Non-existent crosswalks, broken stoplights, not to mention drugs and theft. It's no wonder kids can't get to the library. So McCoy goes to them.
You love me. We're a happy family.
Elmhurst Outreach allows Ted to bring the library to the children. He goes to boys and girls clubs, to public schools, church events, even the grocery stores around Oakland.
In the works, we have a story time at the Food Max up on in the Durant Square Mall.
Today, Ted is at the Highland Community Center, performing his weekly storytelling hour.
She'll be back, said Sarah. Back soon, said Percy.
And occasionally breaking into song.
We've got icky, sticky, icky, sticky bubble. Icky, sticky, icky, sticky bubble.
Ted makes it a point to make reading fun and interactive.
Go away. Big. Green. Face.
And sometimes a little scary. But all in all, never losing that fun.
And we understand that children may not often have a chance to be in the library, and they may not have a lot of books at home. So we want to make sure that fun and enjoyment is something that is associated with being here and being around books.
And the kids, well, they seem to love Ted as much as they love the stories.
I'm going to say thank you, Mr. Ted.
Thank you, Mr. Ted.
See you next time.
See you next time.
You know, our goal is to connect Oaklanders with their library and you know, we're here to spread a love of reading. And the more Oaklanders and the more children that we can reach with our outreach, the better. And so I kind of view our outreach as a never-ending quest.
Though it will end soon for Ted. He's leaving for a new job in Massachusetts. But he assures us that outreach will continue, with or without his presence. And he hopes the program thrives long after he's gone. From Mills College, I'm Aaliyah Yates.
Aaliyah Yates is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where our series on local libraries was produced. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Like the Elmhurst Library, the Oakland Library's main branch is also going outside its walls to find patrons, and it's doing it on two wheels. The Mobile Bike Library is a weekly book delivery service that travels to different Oakland neighborhoods. Student reporter Sarah O'Neill went along one day, and she brings us this story.
I'm in the back of the main library on 13th Street, close to Lake Merritt in Oakland. Monotone Monaga is showing me her favorite piece of book-related equipment.
It's sort of a
pyramid shape, and it sits on a trailer bed that was custom built. There's four shelves on each side, and it displays books in a cascading manner.
About 50 books in all. This mobile bookshelf can be wheeled away at a moment's notice to anywhere in Oakland. But wait, there's more.
There's a wooden piece attached to the top where you can put flyers and stickers and logos, and we can display not only hardbacks but paperbacks.
Tomonaga is ready for her day's work. She's bringing a little part of the main library to the people of Oakland today, on the back of her bike. The door to the library storage space closes. We mount up and head off down the road with a shelf of books in tow. Tomonaga is taking me downtown, where a special event is happening. It's called Libros Libres. They promote literacy by giving away books to anyone who wants them. It's here where we're going to set up shop. As we pull up to a traffic light, a guy in his car gets inspired by our mobile bookshelf.
So awesome.
Thanks.
Like what you're doing right now. But brings joy into the world. For sure.
We get to the event, park our bikes, and set up our wares. The mobile library is open for business. Tomonaga brings a different collection of books to every event. Today, she's focusing on Kid Lit.
Really popular books that oftentimes are actually really high demand titles, so it's been great to see kids' faces light up when they see, like, Captain Underpants or Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That kind of format of mixing, I think, text and graphics really helps reluctant readers get confident with reading and just see reading as an enjoyable activity, which is what we're trying to promote at the library.
And if a kid finds a book they're excited about, they can check it out right here, which basically just means they can take the book home and bring it back to any Oakland library whenever they want. A pretty liberal honor system.
We're hoping that it'll be a nice reminder for them to visit their library to pick up a card if they don't have one. And also just a way to get books into the hands of readers easily without a lot of obstacles. We can't do mobile library card applications yet or mobile checkout, so this is sort of the next best thing.
I meet two kids, Manuel and Jessica, walking away from the mobile library. They've just checked out some books. They tell me they'd rather be reading than watching TV.
Because when you watch more TV, there's like sometimes when you watch a movie, it has violence and all of that. But when you read books, it's like very fun for you, and you get to it. And you, when you read it, you get to imagine it in your head, and it's much better to imagine it in your head.
And you get to learn things when you read books, different things that you never learned, like science, math, or art, or how to make things.
What books did you guys check out today?
Diary of a Kid.
Captain Underpants, Pirate versus Pirate, and Harry Potter.
And a Mickey Mouse book for my baby brother.
Jessica and Manuel aren't the only ones to check out books. In all, about a dozen people made use of the mobile library today. Tomonaga's been an Oakland librarian since June, and this Libros Libres event is only the third the mobile library has embarked upon. Tomonaga is an avid cyclist, which is a big reason she wanted to start this mobile project.
It's a way to get the librarians out of the building into our communities again to showcase our books and build relationships in a very positive way. It also serves to somewhat diminish the perception of libraries and librarians as being sort of old and, you know, stoic and static. We're out there, we're active, promoting cycling.
Plus, she thinks cyclists in Oakland are an untapped demographic for libraries.
There's so much energy right now in Oakland behind cycling. At the bike shop, I meet tons of people who have just arrived to Oakland, and the first thing they want is a bike. So I think there's definitely a lot of community building possibility by having an outlet like a bike trailer.
Saying Oaklanders like bikes is an understatement. Oakland hosts one of the largest bike parties in the Bay Area. Once a month, folks from across the East Bay come together to bike across the city, listening to music and dancing along the way. That inspires Tomonaga.
I really had this vision when I sat down and thought about the project of blasting an, poetry, you know, Shakespeare, Milton, that kind of stuff, during bike party, and just being another sort of option for people to party on with.
The Libros Libres event is starting to wrap up. Tomonaga begins packing up her books. Sarah Kalberg, the co-founder of Libros Libres, walks over to our trailer and thanks us for coming. She identifies a lot with the Oakland Public Library's values.
I think that's one of the really cool things about the bike trailer is that it's accessible, it's fun, it excites people about books, and it reminds people that books aren't just something that you do quietly in a big, you know, brick building. It can be out and exciting in the park, wherever you are, reading should happen.
Tomonaga waves and pedals off, closing the mobile library for the day. But she's excited about the potential of this budding new program. For Mills College, I'm Sarah O'Neill.
Sarah O'Neill is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where this series was produced. And if you want to give a shout out to your favorite local library, give us a call at 415-264-7106. Again, that number to leave us a message and tell us about your favorite local library is 415-264-7106. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. The Mills College reporting series on Oakland Public Libraries has revealed some of the ways those libraries go out of their way to serve the city's children. KALW's Hear Hear Community Storytelling Project has also spent some time talking to young people in public libraries in both Oakland and San Francisco. For nearly 2 years, the project has been setting up recording booths at local libraries and speaking with people about their struggles, their dreams, and their favorite neighborhood places. For many people, it's right where they are, their local library. That was the case for Dejon Simpson in San Francisco's Visitation Valley neighborhood, and he took us on a tour.
We're here at Viz Valley Branch Library with Hear Hear, pop-up radio project at Visitation in Leland. Walk back in because it's cold outside. When you first walk in, it's two big palm trees, the floor looks nice as soon as you walk in. It's like bricks with different colors, so it looked nice. Today I was here actually early, so I had to wait at the door.
My name is Dejon Malik Simpson. I live in Sunnydale neighborhood. After Viz Valley, like, you keep going up the street and you'll reach Sunnydale. Sometimes it'd be fun, like at the top of the hill it's peaceful. At the bottom of the hill, it's like shooting and things that's not that good. But then, like, when you get into Viz, it's not like that anymore. It's funner. It's, like, more peaceful. It's, like, the library's here. It's, like, always people you can talk to.
Hi, ladies.
This person that I'm about to go take us to, my auntie named Alice.
You know, I have bags. I can get you bags. So you don't have to ruin your purse.
This is the Viz Valley branch manager, Alice. Hi, Alice. Is your job here hard?
No, I get to work with wonderful kids like yourself, so definitely no.
And what do you think about my poem?
I love it. I think it's very creative.
Sometimes I get, like, good ideas. It's like a lot of stuff I do, like write songs, I could rap, I could crack jokes, and I could act. My grandma said I should be an actor when I get older.
Today, I came and got on the computer so I could read a book that they don't got here, like, see, this is children's books.
I'm going to City of Arts and Tech. After I graduate, I want to go to Stanford University. When we was in fifth grade, we at the end of the year, they always used to take us to Stanford. And, like, I've been in one of their classes. And it's like the teacher actually said that I should come back and be in his class. His class was actually about nature or whatever. I asked the question and everybody started clapping because I was the only 10-year-old in that class, 10 or 11 then, only 10-year-old, and everybody was like, whoa. And then I ended up falling asleep in the end of the class.
And this is the movies. They're in alphabetical order.
lamps right here, so if you need to read and you need light for it. I'm leaving the library now and I'm going home to eat because I am hungry.
That story was produced by Wendy Baker for KALW's Hear Hear Project. You can listen to more Hear Hear stories at KALW.org, which is also where you can subscribe to our podcast. Today's edition of Cross Currents was a special production from Mills College in Oakland. It was produced and edited by Chris Hoff, with help from Audrey Dilling. Tune in tomorrow for more library stories. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. The hard-driving, trippy sounds you're hearing now are by the Wooden Ships. The song is from their new album, Back to the Land. Listeners to Sound Opinions, heard Sunday afternoons on KALW, know that it is a top 10 album of 2013, according to that show. Wooden Ships will be performing at the Chapel in their hometown of San Francisco this Thursday. Doors open at 8 p.m. All of that information is at KALW.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. Oh,